And this week we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. It's been a while since we've been in Ephesians, and so this is that passage where Paul is speaking of armor. And I'm going to start in verse 11 just to catch us up and bring us up to verse 14 through 18. And Paul says there in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, let me just say that this whole armor of God is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the unspeakable gift. He's the indescribable gift that we've been given by the Lord. And have an understanding of our God and a knowledge and a fellowship with our God because of Christ our Savior, who came and willingly died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to reconcile us unto the Father. And so this whole armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good news, because Christ is impenetrable. Christ can't be defeated. Christ has already won the victory. He's already overcome all our enemies. And so nothing's going to get through. There's no weakness in this armor. There's no point at which the enemy can slip through a spear or a sword or anything like that to destroy the child of God. He's not going to defeat you and destroy your life spiritually, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. And I just said, Christ is the whole armor of God. And you might think, well, how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? That sounds odd. But in Romans 13, verse 14, that's exactly what Paul said. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he follows that up saying, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that mean that we could forget to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? The truth is, we are saved by grace. We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. And what he's saying there is, remember. Remember that we're the Lord's. Remember that Christ has saved us. He's put away our sin. Remember whose you are. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved his people. And we stand in Christ and in his righteousness. He is our salvation. Now he says in verse 12, remember, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's saying, remember, we're in this war zone, if you will, here in the earth. Remember that you're Christ's. Remember what he's accomplished for you. Go in the knowledge of what your Savior has done for you. And so we have this reminder, and it's good because even the Lord himself said when he was sending out his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Harmless as doves. And so it's not that we are anything. It's not that we think anything of ourselves or as of ourselves, but it's a reminder of our complete dependence on our God to keep looking to Christ, to keep looking to our salvation, whom God has provided, and our help and our hope and our comfort in time of need. And so then with this understanding, Paul now says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And at this point, this is where Paul begins to give us this picture, this analogy of armor. He breaks them down into pieces of armor, and each one describes what we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope, the life, the comfort in Christ himself. And so this armor is a picture. It's a picture. It's not that we ourselves are overcoming our enemies by ourselves. Christ is how we overcome. Christ himself has overcome all our enemies. And so all our enemies and our trials are overcome by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome them. So I've titled this message, The Armor of Christ. And so let's pick up in verse 14 now. Now, we looked at verse 14 the last time we were here about standing in Christ. But this time, what I want you to see is that Paul is showing us that it's the Lord Jesus Christ in whom we stand, that he's our righteousness. This is our foundation. We're delivered from the way of death and brought into the way of life by Christ himself. We are saved, brethren. We have been delivered from death in Christ. And so he says in verse 14, stand therefore. Stand in that liberty. Stand in that salvation. Stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that you have been saved. Your sin has been put away. The Spirit has come by which the mist of darkness and confusion in this flesh has been brushed away, has been pushed away by the wind of the Spirit, by the Spirit himself coming and giving you life and light and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, with this truth that you are Christ's, that he has delivered you, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, that he is your righteousness. And so that's what Paul's doing. He's reminding us, he's showing us this basic, glorious truth, that we are covered with the blood of Christ, that we are saved by our Lord, that we have salvation even now, and our Savior triumphs over all our enemies. So trust his righteousness. Trust that you are his. We're going through a warfare. Trust. We have been given the hope and the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. By nature, the truth is, we were in the way of death. We were going about everything wrong in trying to please our God, to come unto the Father, to worship him right. We went about everything wrong, but now he's provided everything for us in grace, in the grace of Christ. And so we rejoice that our Savior has put away the mountain of sin. By his death, he paid the debt of sin so that mountain of debt that we owed to God has been put away. It's removed, brethren. And we are reconciled to God in that Christ has put away our sin. And then we know that we've been reconciled to God because he's given us his Spirit, whereby we look to Christ, not our works, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in what he's done for us. And so, by grace, we were put into the way of salvation. As our Lord said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we come to the Father, is by Christ. He says in Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. That's the way that we were in. We were in our way. We were doing what we thought made sense to this flesh. We thought we knew God. We thought we understood God and how we are to come unto God. But the Lord says, forsake that way. Don't trust in your flesh. Don't trust in your works. Don't trust in your wisdom. I've provided the way in my Son, Jesus Christ. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because our God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. and he has brought us into the way of truth and the way of righteousness. We're not out there trying to find righteousness or work up a righteousness. We are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 3, verse 21 and 22, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is brought to our understanding, brought to our mind, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." And so Paul is reminding us here in verse 14, your sins have been put away. Stand in that truth. You are righteous before your Father even now. You are righteous as Christ is righteous, because he is our righteousness, and we have access to the Father through the way of salvation that he's provided for us, who were lost and wandering and out of the way. He's brought us into the way by his grace. So that's the first part there. Stand in that truth, brethren. Stand in that truth. That's a great defense. That's something that can't be overcome by the enemy, what Christ has done for you, his sheep. And so standing firm in this glorious truth. Now Paul moves on to verse 15 and 16. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And so we stand in Christ. We're not going back any further, as though we were Israel with the Red Sea behind us and the Egyptian army on the other side. And so before us is this Red Sea, which the Lord opens up. And we see, wait a minute, I can't go in there. There's danger. What if that water comes crashing down? But like Israel, who stepped into that dry land between those waters, backed up by the wind of the Lord, every step they took in faith, believing that God would not destroy them, that God was their God and he was delivering them, bringing them through to the other side. And that's how we walk. This is a picture of our walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're firmly anchored in Christ. We have an anchor of the soul. We stand firm in him. We stand upon the rock. We're confident. That which we stand upon is not going to slip out from underneath us. We're not going to fall. We stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now standing in him, we walk not by sight, but by faith in the truth of the gospel, which our God has given to us by his grace. We believe him by faith. And so our Lord is teaching us here. He's showing us that as Christ has saved us, so he has brought salvation unto us by his Spirit, by whom we are led. We are now led by the Spirit of God. Now, this flesh is still corrupt. We see the sin in our members. We are not as we want to be. We still see I'm weak. I'm unbelieving. I do things that I don't want to do. I say things I don't want to say. I think things that I don't want to think that are contrary to the truth of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't lean on the flesh. We see the flesh is corrupt. We see the flesh cannot save. That's why God provided us with Christ and why he's given us the Spirit by whom we are led and in whom we walk by faith. Now turn over to Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. And let's pick up in verse 1. Where we see this truth that we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ first. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So there's that anchor of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's reconciled his people unto the Father. And the Spirit of God, therefore, is sent unto his people in the day of grace. That sin having been, that enmity of sin having been removed, and us delivered from that, the Spirit of grace comes and removes the enmity that is in our mind toward the Lord. He removes that enmity whereby now we know our God and rejoice in him. Let's drop down to verses 9 and 10. So this is after regeneration, after we're born of the Spirit. Paul has already laid out there that in the flesh we cannot please God. That's Romans 8:8. We don't please God in the flesh. But he says, verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we see sin in our members, but we've been delivered from the way of the flesh so that we don't go at our sin in trying to put it away the way we did when we were in the way of flesh, when we were dead to the things of our God. We don't try to stamp them out with a little extra religion and trying to do good works in order to earn some favor or merit some grace from God to help us. No, we have salvation. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cry out to the Lord for his grace to defeat this flesh and to defeat the will of the flesh. We cry out to our Lord for grace. When we think things that we know are evil, we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Save me, Lord. Deliver me from this foolishness. Deliver me from worrying. Deliver me from sinning. Deliver me from doing this or that or thinking this or saying that. Deliver me, Lord, and cleanse me of my sin and unrighteousness. So we cry out to the Lord for help in time of need. And that's seen in verse 12 through 15. So drop down to Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So we don't live with reckless abandon, just doing sin just because, hey, it doesn't matter now. That's not how we live. But we also don't live by the flesh to try and put away sin by the flesh, by studying the Ten Commandments and disciplining ourselves by the Ten Commandments. That's not how we live. For Paul says, verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay, how is that to be done? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Right? If you're worried that, oh, I did another foolish thing, and now I've got to work that off. I've got to turn things around by my actions and show myself to be worthy of forgiveness. Well, you're laboring in fear. You're laboring in worry. You're laboring by the flesh. You're serving sin through fear of death. That you've got to do something now to put it away. Whether it's a religious work, some ceremony, or the law to put it away. Not anymore for the child of God. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out to the Lord, save me, Lord. Have mercy. Keep my wandering heart. Keep me, Lord, ever looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we walk by faith. We cry out to our God. We cry out in the name of Christ, Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver me from the sin. Deliver me from the foolishness. Keep my heart, Lord. So we cry out to him. We ask him for forgiveness and we ask him to deliver us. We ask him for that help. We ask him for mercy. We seek him and we walk by faith, trusting him, not trying to do things our old way, coming at the Lord in dead letter religion. That's not going to save us. It didn't help us, never helped us once, and so it's not going to help us now either. We're going to Christ, we need Christ at the first hour. We need Christ every hour, brethren. And we're kept by Christ every hour. And so, our sin is only going to be overcome in Christ, just as we preach this gospel. And Paul adds this, and this is a comfort. This affirms what I've just said to you. Look down at verse 23 now. Romans 8:23. And we're going to go to verse 27. He says, "But we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, which have the earnest or the down payment that we are the Lord's, whereby we call upon his salvation in Christ. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." We're groaning because we see the infirmity of this flesh. We see the weakness of this flesh. All right? Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit, by whom we're led, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And so that's a comfort to us who see sin in our members, who see the weakness of this flesh, the slowness of this flesh to believe all that our God has said to us. And we groan, crying out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me," knowing that the Spirit intercedes for us, and that Christ, our Savior, our husband, our friend, is interceding for us also, by whom we cannot fail. We shall not fail. He shall have that which he seeks in the salvation of his people. And so that was a lengthy passage to see this, but it defines that gospel in which we walk, by which our feet are shod with. We stand in the foundation of Christ. And we go in the peace of our God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our peace by faith. And so all the accusations of the evil one that come against us and point out to us what failures we are, what a comfort we have in the Lord Jesus Christ who's keeping us. Who's keeping us. And so with patience, we wait for it. We wait for the return of our Lord. And so I mourn for my sin. I mourn for my weakness over what I am, how weak I am in this flesh. But it doesn't drive me back to the law. It drives me to Christ. Christ is how we overcome. If I got to go back to the law and fight in the strength of this flesh, I'm done for. That's not an armor that's going to withstand the fiery attacks, the fiery darts of the evil one. Because there's always something there's always a weakness. There's always something I missed, always something I forget, always something I've done that destroys me, that brings me down. And so we mourn for our sin, but we look to Christ. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 and 9. "Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a good hope. We're not appointed to wrath. We're not going to fall away. Our God is the one keeping us. Now, that brings us to verse 17 in our text. Ephesians 6, verse 17. There Paul says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, this helmet of salvation, it affirms what we've been saying, that the hope that our God has given to us. You know, nowadays they come out with a lot of documentaries on World War II. They're always finding some new film, some never-before-seen films, and they dress them up in color, and they refurbish them, and they put it out there. And so there's lots of documentaries. And within a fraction of a second, I can tell which army I'm looking at in that image that's put on the screen. Just flashes across it, and I know which army I'm looking at. You know how? I just look at their helmet. Their helmets are so distinct. They have the German helmets with that little swoop out there, you know, that they have, and then you have the GI, American GI helmets. They're very different looking. And so it is, brethren, that we've been given a helmet of salvation. And you know right what a man believes in as soon as he begins talking, as soon as he says what his hope is. Either he's boasting in self and what he's doing for the Lord and why he's so confident that he's the Lord's, or you hear the person boast of and declare Christ and how they're so confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. We either speak of self and this flesh and the law and how we're whipping and beating ourselves to keep ourselves in line, or we're rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ and boasting of him and speaking of what he's done for us and how confident we are in Christ our Savior. So we, brethren, are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's our joy. He's our Savior. He's our comfort. Isn't that a whole lot more comforting, looking to Christ and speaking of what he's done, than looking to what you've done with your hands? It's filthy, these hands. These hands are bloody and filthy and vile and disgusting. Now, we come in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul adds in that text, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because the Spirit isn't going to contradict this word. And this word speaks of Christ. It speaks of what Christ has done to redeem us. It speaks of what Christ has done to reconcile us. It speaks of what our God has done to reconcile his people through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ whom he sent. Because we can't save ourselves. We can't reconcile ourselves. And so we speak of him. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. Go to 2 Corinthians 3 and let's look at verse 4. And here Paul boasts of and brags on the Lord Jesus Christ, saying in verse 4, such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Or, we have such confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ toward God. We know that we are accepted of our God because of Christ. Through Christ, the way of salvation that he's given. We preach Christ, and you gather here to hear Christ because we're so confident in him that he is salvation. We're so sure of it that he is our salvation that we rejoice in and boast in what he's done for us. Not, verse 5, that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's a fruit of the Spirit. You who boast in your sufficiency is Christ, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Stand right there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in faith. Trust him. Boast of him to others. That's the helmet of your salvation. Boast of him. Speak of him. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so some might hear that and say, well, that sounds very antinomian. No, I'm not looking for any license to sin. I'm ashamed of my sin, but I'm not looking to this flesh to try and work a sanctification for myself. Christ is the sanctification of his people. He's the justification of his people. He's the keeper of his people. He's the cleanser of his people. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ministers of the New Testament. We're ministers of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how our sin was put away at the first. That's how our sin is put away every time, in the blood of Christ. By the washing of his Spirit and his word, he teaches us. And so being led by his Spirit, we walk in faith. And that's where we're to stay, right there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit heals. Christ heals. Christ comforts, not the law. That hardens, that weakens, that destroys, it kills. But Christ heals. He is the life giver. And so to that point, Paul says back in our text, and then we'll close, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, brethren, we lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We cry out to Him. We groan because He is our salvation. And we wait for His return, when this body shall be made like unto Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen.